This program is a paid presentation for American Financial and Retirement Services, LLC, and is brought to you by American Financial and Retirement Services, LLC. The opinions expressed on the program by the host, host guests, and call-in listeners are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not represent the opinions of management of this station or Brazos Communications West, LLC, who bear no responsibility or liability for the program's content. The purpose of this radio program is intended to inform the public on financial planning issues and investment products for qualified individuals and investors. Many of the topics and opinions discussed may be of a personal nature, and some people may disagree with or find opinions expressed on this program objectionable. Before you invest, you should consult with financial advisors and review the program prospectus and its risks.
97 Gold presents Your Money with Fay Bagby. Sound advice to help your money grow. Now, here's Fay Bagby on 97 Gold.
Good morning.
Good morning, Faye. How are you?
Well, I'm warm. not to say that it isn't 37 degrees out.
Well, I think there's parts that are even colder than that. My goodness gracious, they've been talking about this really for several days about how we could see some snow and some ice. And so I know a lot of people that went to the grocery store earlier this week in anticipation of potentially bad weather this morning. And so they got their bread and their milk. And then I always have the question of what do you do when you get your bread and your milk? I don't know. Is there something that people make? I don't know what you do with it.
Let me tell you something. They're not only getting bread and milk. They were buying everything. Everything was being bought. They think they're going to be under siege for 30 days.
Under siege.
Yes, under siege. Oh, my gosh. If the snow and ice gets them, you know, it could get bad.
Oh, my goodness.
And if it passes them by, they've got it in stock.
Well, sure. You know? Yeah. Of course, now you got to eat up the bread and the milk before they go bad. But, my goodness, people have canned goods, you know, stored up for 6 months' worth.
That's right. And they buy lots of ice cream, lots of soup. You know, I mean, they buy everything they can find on the shelf.
See, now that's a good excuse, though, to buy some ice cream. So if you're on a diet and you have a threat of bad weather and you go buy ice cream, I had to do it.
And you do it in front of the fireplace always.
Ooh, that's the best.
That's what makes ice cream good. You sit in front of the fireplace and eat it.
Yes, especially some of that Bluebell Christmas cookie ice cream.
Oh, my gosh. Any Bluebell is a blessing, let me tell you. Oh, my gosh. When it comes to Bluebell, I'll take it any way you can get it.
Oh, I know. And it doesn't matter if it's 32 degrees out, if it's ice and snow, or if it's in the middle of summer. It's good anytime.
And of course, I may have told the story. I said 37 this morning. I don't know if it's really that warm.
I think probably it's even colder than that.
I think it is, too. I was just being nice.
You were thinking optimistic.
I wanted to fool some of these people that were fixing to get dressed and go outside. Yeah. Oh, my gosh. Mm.
Wow. This is Your Money with Fay Bagby. This is all about growing your money so you can retire happy, wealthy, and early. So, Fay, what is your phone number?
It's 877-588-3330. And we're at the corner of Ivy Cottage and right next door to Ivy Cottage. Have been for years.
We should point out that that is your office number, and that is not the number to get a hold of you right here and right now. That's your office number, and this being Saturday morning, nobody's actually at the office, but you can call that number if you want to today. You can leave a message, and you will call people back personally, right?
I will call them back. I will talk to them about their estate. I will talk to them about their 401, their IRA, or regular money. And I'll tell them exactly how our investments work.
Yeah, and that's what this is all about. This is all about getting the ball rolling, because I know a lot of people put off retirement until either it's too late, or you know, they don't have the window to grow their money in time to retire at an age they want to. There's a number of reasons, but the thing that you always talk about is how people procrastinate.
They do, and you and I sometimes forget to talk about that. But procrastination runs in West Texas. I don't know if it runs everywhere else, but I know that people procrastinate. Then I'll get a call. They say, "Hey, I've been listening to you for 6 months or 8 months.
Mm-hmm.
And today's the day I decided to call you and check it out. I wanted to know everything there is to know about what you do."
Yeah. And you do a number of things, not only just retirement planning, but, you know, you also do investments. You show people how to, you know, I guess, budget their money so that they can live responsibly within their means. I think that's a very big and important factor in getting ready for retirement, is making sure that before you retire, you are within your means. It's about growing your money safely. You know, we look at what goes on Wall Street. You know, it was another one of those up and down kinds of weeks. You know, I think Friday,
it was a lot of downs, if you want to be honest.
Yeah. I mean, you know, Friday was another 400-plus day at one point. Earlier in the week was another down. And so it just seems like what was last week, they had said that the entire gains for 2018 were gone. They were all...
That's right. That's all been wiped out.
Yeah. So a lot of people haven't made any money in Wall Street this week or this year. So it's another year of not growing your money. And in that time, in 12-month period, you have several clients that are investing in other types of investments like a life settlement, and they are growing their money while people in the stock market are losing money.
That's exactly right. They did this week, and you know, this happens periodically, and people have to be prepared for it. And if they're not, you know, it's pretty bad. And you know, this month we've had 5 policies mature.
Wow.
And I went and looked them up. You know, the smallest amount of money that's made was 12%, and the others are all like 24% that they made on their investments. Now, 3 of the policies were late, and all the, let's see, it was 2 policies late. The rest of the other 3 were early. So that was pretty good.
You know, any time that you have a policy come in early, it just means that people can take that money, they can take that profit, reinvest it sooner, get that money growing even faster. And the way this works is this is a long-term thing. So there's going to be an average. You know, you're going to have some that come in early, you're going to have some that come in late. But the goal is to do this over several years, and this is how you grow your money. And what we're talking about, and you offer a number of options, but the main thing that we're talking about today is life settlements. And this is where you take a life insurance policy for somebody who is diagnosed with stage 4 cancer. They need to sell their policy. Somebody needs to buy it. Once you go in and you buy it, and I know we're oversimplifying it, but once you go in and you bid on it and you buy it and it becomes yours, then people can invest in that policy and make money.
That's exactly right. So when people come to us and say, I have stage 4 cancer, we know they're not going to make a return. And they say, I need the money. I need to sell my life insurance policy. It's the biggest asset I have right now. So we look at it. We study it. We get, if it's $1 million or more, we get 2 opinions on it from doctors that have studied everything they've done, every treatment, every doctor they've been to, and then we make a decision. If we think that it'll work, if it's going to pay at least 1% a month, then we're interested in it. If it tells us that they've stopped treatment, that's real important. If they've been to Mexico, that's important, because we know they won't live long. And the people that go to Mexico are the women with breast cancer. I don't understand it.
I think maybe it may be one of those things where people are desperate. They're looking for that miracle treatment for cancer. They go and try things like the spring water diet or the orange diet or whatever it may be. There's a number of treatments that people hear about, and they go and they're looking for that miracle thing so that they don't have to go under the knife. Because I know how, you know, it's an incredibly personal decision, especially when you have something like breast cancer, to go and have surgery. Because it does things to a person's psychology as well. And so they try to avoid that, and they try to find, you know, less invasive procedures. They try to find that miracle thing. And so I think that's why a lot of times they seek alternative treatments. And we know, you especially, because you've seen the numbers, you've been to hospitals, you've been to research centers, and you've seen what happens when people do those things. 9 times out of 10, or maybe even more than that, what they've done is they've delayed treatments that we know work, which makes the cancer go ahead and progress even further.
Well, and remember this policy that we had that we did 2 months ago. It was a 30-month it came in 27 months early. So, in other words, we did it in September. She died in November. And this was a breast cancer patient. And they were saying she had 30 months. And I didn't believe she had 30 months when I bought it. And sure enough, she didn't. She was a lot worse than everybody had. If everybody would just read a little farther along, they would have known how bad a shape this lady was in. But all these people, when they go to Mexico, it speeds up the progression of the cancer. That's just my opinion.
Well, I mean, you see the numbers. You know, it allows the cancer to progress. And while people are not taking actual treatments, the cancer is getting worse. And I think that speeds things up. And so when you take a 30-month policy and it comes in 3 months, I mean, it's obviously our main goal. We're all humans. We're all, you know, we're all people. We all care about other people. We want people to go ahead and survive cancer. But we know the reality. We know that stage four cancer is very, very serious. We know that treatment is very, very expensive. And so people are looking for the fastest way to get the largest amount of money. And by selling their life insurance policy, that's how a lot of people find that saving grace. It's about financial, but it's almost about hope as much as getting the actual lump sum of cash.
That's right. And, of course, where our clients come in, where they're going to make the money, is they're going to make the spread, the difference between what we paid for that policy and the face amount. And they get paid when that person matures, when they pass away. And if we told them we're going to make 24%, it doesn't matter if it comes in early, they get 24. If it comes in on time, they get 24, or if it's late. Now, if it's late, they may have paid some premium, so we have to take that off the top. Or it may be there was no premium due, and there is some that there is no premium due. So it could work either way. But a percentage of them will come in early, a percentage of your policies will come in on time, and a percent will be late.
Now, when we talk about the policies coming in early and late, we talk about multiple policies. We should point out that this is not the type of an investment where you come in, you do one investment, and all of a sudden you've made enough to retire. This is something that you do over several years. And if you plan early enough or you get started early enough, you can make even more money by the time you retire. However, this is also the type of investment that, you know, it's not going to go down. It's not affected by external factors. So really, it's all about just growing and growing and growing and growing. It's not like shoots and ladders where you grow and then, oh my gosh, I've lost a whole bunch. And now, you know, maybe at some point I'll gain it back. It's not like the stock market at all. But this is something that happens over time and people just roll that over and just keep making money over and over.
That's right, because remember, an insurance policy is not going to go down. They're not going to pay you less than you put in. They're going to give you that face amount of that policy when these people pass away. That's what makes it so good. And it's really good for IRAs or 401k rollovers because you're not going to use that money right away. So you can let it grow for several years before you start taking it out. So that helps an awful lot.
And so, the thing is you want to avoid taxes and things like that. So you keep that in there. You keep rolling it over, and that helps people make even more money. But the great thing about this is when we see things like we saw last week where the stock market goes down or people are nervous about interest rates or something happens somewhere around the world overseas and the stock market plummets, when we say that the investment in a life settlement doesn't lose its value, it means literally nothing affects it at all. It's in its own, its own ecosystem, its own bubble. It's completely self-contained.
That's exactly right. And it doesn't matter what's going on in Bahrain or Saudi Arabia or China. This policy is going to pay. It doesn't matter about any of those things. Mm-hmm. It's a separate entity all to itself.
So how does the profit margin get determined? I know, you know, we talk about these numbers all the time, but we should probably explain what some of them mean. We talk about a 24-month policy, and what that means is that doctors have looked at the patient, they've examined the patient, some have treated the patient, and they've realized, okay, we've done all we can do. We expect this person to live 24 months. That's what the doctors say. That's where that number comes from. So then how do we determine from that, how do we determine the percentage that people make each month?
Okay. We say to start with, on every policy, we want you to make 1% a month. So it doesn't matter how many months it is. And up front, on page 14, we tell them, okay, this is how much the policy's worth. Let's say it was $1 million. You've put $100,000 in it. This is how much you're going to make. So you're going to get 24% at the end of the term. If it goes over, this is what it's going to cost you. This is what percentage it is. And this is the life insurance company, and you know their ratings. So they know everything there is to know about how their money's going to be made, how it's going to be paid out, and who's going to pay them. And the bank is the one that's going to pay them at the end of that term. The bank gets the money from the insurance company and pays them.
So when you come up with that 1% a month, is that a personal goal, or is that like some kind of a regulation?
No, that is what we decided we could afford to pay them on every policy.
Okay. And now, so, another thing related to that is, we should point out, if it is a 24-month policy and it comes in early, say it comes in, just for simple math, say it comes in 12 months, it comes in half the time,
right,
the policyholder, the investor, still makes the full 24%. They just get it in half the time.
That's exactly right.
So now, I don't know of any other type of investment where you can do that.
Well, I don't think there is. I mean, it is pretty conservative because it's just a life insurance policy. And we've taken every precaution to protect their money. We have the bank handle the money. We never touch anybody's money. So the money is at the bank. The bank pays them when the policy matures. The bank pays a premium for them to make sure their premiums are paid. So everything's handled right there at the bank.
It's very simple, very easy. People's money is protected well. And so when we look at these policies, we talk about sometimes they come in early. Like the example we just gave, 24-month policy may come in 12, and they may come in at, 20, 2, 23. They may be close. They may come in right at 24. But one of the risks, and there's three risks that we should talk about, one of the risks is that it could go over.
That's the biggest risk you ever face, is the policy could go over. And sometimes they do. We have some right now that have gone over. And we talk sometimes about that. But the biggest risk, if it's going to go over, you will have to pay some premium until it matures. And it might be 12 months, might be an extra 2 years. We can't tell. And then a percentage of them are going to come in early, so you don't have to worry about it. But it'll all add up in the end.
And
a percent will come in early on time, and a few will come in late.
And really, this is all about the long term. It's about playing the averages long term. And so when we talk about these policies going over, and we talk about premiums, I think the first thing people who are not familiar with the process, one of the first things they think is that, oh my gosh, it's going to go over, and I'm going to lose all my profit. I'm going to be paying premiums, for the next, 100 years, and I'm going to lose everything, and I'm not going to make any money on that on that investment. Let's run some quick numbers. And I know it changes. These can vary widely. What would you say, just for the sake of this example, would be maybe a median number for a premium payment that may go over? Because you do these quarterly, not monthly, not yearly.
That's right. I would say maybe $300 a quarter.
Okay. So let's take that for an example. Say $300 a quarter. If the policy goes over, let's take that 24-month policy. Say it goes
right
over by, say it comes in 26 months. So now you've got to pay a quarter of premium. That's $300. Now,
right,
when we take that 24-month policy, we've determined that it's 1% a month. So 24% of a $100,000 investment, that's $24,000 profit.
That's
if it
right
were to come in on time. But it went over. So take out that $300 premium that you had to pay extra. That means that you're still coming up with $23,700 in
profit.
That's
right. But let's say it went a year over. Sometimes they do. It costs you about $1,200.
Yeah. So you take $1,200 out of that $24,000 profit that you're looking at. You're still looking at, you know, 23 or 22.8.
Yes, that's right. So it didn't change it a lot. Now, the only ones that we have to really worry about is those three old ones. Their premiums are high. They're in their 90s, and they have not died yet. And so we still have a lot of people in those, and we're waiting for those to come due and get our money out.
That's a good point, because...
And those three... We're waiting patiently to get our money out of those.
You've been sitting on these ever since we were talking, and that's important.
How long has it been? Four years?
It's been a long time. It's been several years.
It's been a long time. They're in their 90s. We do not do elderly people. Since all this happened, we've never done another elderly person, and we never will.
These were policies.
God love them; they're wonderful, but they're not sick. When people sold us these, they told us these people were sick.
Yeah,
they're not sick; they've never been sick. And one of them is 95, and they're not dead. Let me tell you.
Oh, and I'm sure they'll go another 95 years. They'll outlive both of us combined.
That's right; they're going to outlive us both.
Yeah, and the reason we bring this up is because, first of all, you're completely transparent with everything. So we talk about these elderly policies. You don't do these anymore. These were some policies that you obviously had some misinformation. This is back before the technology and the information that is available now. This is back before that was available. So you took people at their word. Things happened, and you got some misinformation. So you got stuck with these bad policies.
Well, and we brokered. Make no mistake, when we started, we brokered policies. In other words, people would say, we will pay you for your services, okay? And we did it. We did not own those policies. We just brokered them when others were. We took a commission on those. We didn't own them. We stopped doing that. We've never done it since. We own every policy that we buy. We buy them ourselves. We do not get involved in brokerage ever, because we know the little devils will lie.
Yeah.
They lied to us and lied to us and lied to us.
Yeah. So, and you found that out the hard way. But
we found out the hard way.
The good thing is you don't do that anymore. It's completely, the whole model has been completely revamped. So now there's checks and balance systems in place. You no longer broker these things. You actually buy them. You own them. And so it's almost like a complete 180 from when you bought these policies. So
when
we see commercials on TV, and we see these a lot, you know, especially, you know, like around the holiday season when, you know, people are celebrating things with their family and they're planning trips and they're planning retirement and things like that. And you see these commercials where some elderly people are sitting around a table, and then they're all of a sudden they're in an RV and they're, you know, strolling through a national park someplace, and they're living their life. And, you know, they've sold their policy and they've had all this money and they're traveling and they're beaming with sunshine. Those are not the policies you're buying.
No, we're not buying those elderly policies that are not sick, that just want to sell their policies.
Yeah.
If they do not have stage 4 cancer, we're not going to buy their policy. We bought two policies in the last 4 or 5 years that had ALS. One of them is still, we've got the light out for them. I don't know what happened. And the other one has just matured. It was one of these that we've been talking about this morning.
Oh, boy. So... when we see these things on TV, we should know that there's a difference between people selling those policies and the ones that you buy. You buy stage 4 cancer exclusively, except for these ALS.
That we did, two of them. We're never doing that again either.
Okay, all right. So now it's completely 100% stage 4 cancer. And the reason
That's
is
right.
because you know how aggressive it is. Now, you have been to hospitals before. You have, in fact, earlier this year, I believe it was, you went and you toured, you talked with some doctors, and you were actually involved firsthand to see some of the advancements, to see, you know, what types of medications, what types of treatments are working, so that you know if you see these things coming up, you know, okay, should we go after this? Should we not go after this? Should we bid on this? Should we not bid? It helps give you an even more educated opinion about the policies that you've been on, because you don't bid on everything that comes across your desk.
And then we turn a lot down. You know, we rejected two on Friday. The premiums were too high. You know, that's another thing. We have to watch the premiums. Keep the premiums low.
Exactly, because I mean, if you have premiums that are too high, it could eat away people's profits. And the whole point of this is to make sure that those things don't happen. So you're very, very selective about the policies that you do actually buy. And the reason that you do that is because you have information like page 14, which you referenced a few minutes ago. But what this means is basically you do not have to be a doctor. You do not have to understand, doctor speak. You don't have to, look at x-rays and examine a patient. It's all written in plain, everyday English on page 14, people get a very well-informed investment before them that they can actually understand.
That's exactly right. And so we want the people to understand that we've, if it's under $1 million, we've got one opinion. That's usually all we need. But these are opinions from the biggest companies in America that do this for us. That's all they do for a living, is they have doctors that read all the health on people every day. That's what they do. And then they give us an opinion. How sick they are, what's going to happen.
And that's really what sets this type of an investment apart is about how well-informed it is. And you know what the policyholder has been diagnosed with, you know what type of cancer, you know the treatments they've had. And even more importantly, you can see the treatments that they haven't had.
Yeah, that's exactly right. And then we look and see, are they obese? Are they a diabetic in addition to that? How long's the treatment been going on? Has it metastasized in 10 places or 5 places? And, we know that if it's metastasized, especially when it says the ribs, the liver, all these other places, we know that the chances of them surviving is almost zero.
And so when people
it's
gonna
be quick.
When they're diagnosed with this type of a diagnosis, obviously it's a very scary thing to go through. But when they need to have a quick bump of money to go ahead and fight stage 4 cancer because it is so expensive, they look to sell their policy. And so when you bid on these, you're actually bidding on these policies against other companies. And I know sometimes we talk about what happens in the first quarter. There's other companies that come in. They may bid a little bit aggressively. They tend to, spend early in the year. And then, maybe as we
they
get towards
to
the
spend
end.
Spend a lot.
Mm-hmm. And so
our competition will come in the first of the year and say, here's $175 million. Let's buy some policies.
And that's all they do.
That's all.
And so,
and then they pay their clients 8% a year.
Wow.
They don't pay as much as we do. They keep the difference. And that's okay.
Really?
I'm not against it.
Well, that's a
I just think that it's interesting.
That is interesting. I don't think I realize that the other a lot of the other companies just pay 8% a year and then that's it, and then they keep the rest. Interesting.
That's right. Yes.
Hmm.
And they bid them cheap, too. So their profit has got to be pretty outstanding.
So what does the landscape look like now? I know we're getting into, the last couple of weeks of the year. And so right now, have these other companies, have they slacked off? Are you expecting
yes,
things?
They slacked off sometime back. And we're closing. We've been approved on about 5 policies that we're closing in the next 2 weeks. We're going to try to get a lot of them closed this next week. We've got $1 million policy. We've got 2 $500,000 policies that I know of, and I think there's 2 more. Now, I don't remember the exact number on those, but we'll be closing about $3 million between now and Christmas, and these are short-term policies.
Wow. And see, that's what I'm getting at. This is a great time of year to get involved in something like this because of the tremendous opportunity that you have and the options that are available and the policies that are coming in right now. So I also know the Christmas bonuses and end of the year bonuses, start to, they get flowing. And so people have a lot of extra money and, some extra, funds here and there. And I know a lot of people look at it as saying, oh, geez, it's the holidays, we're trying to get all these gifts and we're spending more than we actually have. but there's bonuses, there's lots of opportunity. And so this is the time really to take some of that, maybe think it through, and instead of maybe...
blowing it. Don't blow it on gifts that'll be tore up in 6 months.
Exactly. Yeah. Things will end up in a drawer.
Yeah, the kids will tear them up in 6 months.
Or somebody will re-gift them. And so, you know, things happen.
Oh,
and
yeah.
They go wrong.
That's
so
tacky.
Take some of that and do something wise with it and invest in your future. Not only your future, but, you know, when you have these types of investments and you grow your retirement, you're actually growing not only for yourself, but for your kids as well. And your husband, your wife, you know, your spouse. There's other people that are affected when you plan properly for retirement.
This is exactly right. If you most people, when they get that bonus, they say, okay, this is extra money that we can put in on our retirement. And, you know, retirement is different things to different people. Most people, it's really important. That's when you're going to have fun, when you're going to do what you want. There's no boss telling you what to do anymore.
Yeah. Yeah. You can sleep in. You can travel. So what do people do for the most part when they do retire? I'm sure there's a little period where they just kind of go crazy, and then maybe do they slack
they do.
Off?
The first 2 years is absolute pandemonium. They go everywhere. They do everything they've ever thought about doing. It's like little children. You know, they get out the RV. If they don't have one, they buy a big one, like $150,000 or $200,000. And they go everywhere, take the grandkids, take the children. You know, they do everything, which is, you know, is fun. And then after about 2 years, they settle down. Then they say, okay, we'll do it once a year. But a lot of people go to Europe. A lot of people go to Spain, Holland, Italy. Italy's a big one. And a lot of people go to England.
Ooh.
So, you know, I know clients this year that went, and they were gone 10 days. That's usually about 10 days is what they can stand.
And then they got to get home.
Then they have to come home. And then we have a lot of people that go and they cruise a lot, either in Canada, which that is a really nice one up there in Canada. It's on the Inside Passage. I hear people have gone two or three times to that one. And then the other cruises, I have people that cruise every Christmas. They have no family, so about the 15th they leave and they go to they cruise St. Thomas, Virgin Islands, all over there, and they're gone 10 or 15 days and they come home. And I asked them the other day, do you get a suite? They said, we did the first time or two. Then we learned we're never in the cabin and it doesn't matter.
So don't waste your money on luxury like that.
Yeah, do not waste your money on that luxury because you just sleep in the cabin. Otherwise, she said, you're never in it. You're out doing things.
So would it be fair to say that when most people that you see retire, they go and they do things for themselves for a couple of years, and then maybe they stop the traveling as much, and then their focus starts going on their kids and doing things with the grandkids and things like that?
Yes, and then they're at the lake every weekend with the family. Mm. You know, almost everybody buys a lake house. I can't even tell you how many of them have bought a lake house. If they're not buying a lake house, they're buying a place in Ruidosa. I've got two or three people wanting to buy a place in Ruidosa. And those are fun for two or three years, but then they get tired of going to clean them and doing all that work, and they don't spend enough time there to really pay for it. You know, if you're going once every 3 or 4 months, it's really not worth it. Now, if you're going every weekend or every month religiously, yes, it's worth it having a house there. But if you just use it in the summertime, I don't think it's worth it.
Would you say this is a good time to buy or sell a house? With the market the way it is right here in West Texas, is this a good time?
It's a good time, especially if you're moving somewhere else. Yes, get it done now before you retire because prices are sky high right now. There is no availability of houses. It's just like motels right now are at a premium. There are no motel rooms available in Midland, Texas.
Yeah, that is true. And I've heard some of them are as much as $600 in some cases a night.
Oh, my gosh, I hadn't even heard that. I didn't know how much they were. I just knew that I knew several people were coming out to see us, and they couldn't even get a room out here.
Yeah, Yeah, not all
and
of them.
And I said, hey, we can't even get a room.
Yeah, and I mean, you drive around early in the morning or late at night, and you see all the hotels' parking lots. They're all just full. There's no parking spaces available, and it's every single night. And so, yeah, this is definitely a good time for doing that. And this is a definite seller's market. So if you have a property to sell, this might be a great time to do it. Take some of that profit and invest it.
That's exactly right. Especially if you're going to retire in a year. You know, it would be a good time to go ahead. I've got a lot of people have done this. They went ahead and bought a property out of town where they were going to retire, and now they're selling the house before retirement and going to go ahead and move now to the vacation or permanent home.
Mm-hmm.
I've got some people that moved to North Carolina.
Really?
Yes. The man is a charter pilot.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, but he wanted to retire over there, so they sold their house here. He's still a client of ours. He's still doing charter flights.
Wow, how cool.
Yeah, he's a pretty cool person. He worked for one company here in the Permian Basin for like 10 years, and they had a lot of planes, and so he can fly almost every kind of plane. I think he's, is situated license-wise where he's qualified. For almost every time.
Wow, how cool.
It is cool. And now they've moved to North Carolina. They've already done that, but they're not retired.
They're just living the life, really.
They're living the life, enjoying it. And I've got other people that have moved to Lake Tyler. They bought an old house. There was no availability of houses, new houses over there. They bought an older house, and they're gutting it and getting it ready for retirement.
So there are a number of things that people can do when they retire. They just have to be able to have the option. And if you don't have your wealth grown to a place where you can do that, then you don't have the options, and then you start getting a little bit pigeonholed, and retirement may not end up being what you exactly want you to be. And that's what this is really all about. This is Your Money with Faye Bagby. It's all about growing your money so you can retire happy and wealthy and early. And Faye, what is your phone number again?
It's 877-588-3330. That's 877-588-3330. And we're at 3105 Big Spring, right next to Ivy Cottage.
And we talk about money and retirement and planning. And then around this time, each Saturday morning, we take a small break and we start talking about trivia. There's always a number of things on the docket, whether it's, you know, you're talking about Texas history or a place to go or some neat facts. So what are we talking about this morning?
We're talking about salt. Now,
salt?
Would you have thought salt would be interesting?
No.
Okay, it is. Salt is one of the biggest minerals in the state of Texas.
Are you serious?
It's the oldest and most continually produced mineral commercially in the Texas state.
I had no idea.
How about that? Okay, long before the white man ever arrived, the Indians obtained salt from numerous salt lakes and salt springs and from the alkali lakes of the High Plains. And this all started in 1750. And the Spaniards came, and they produced salt from the salt flat lakes in the areas of Hudspeth, Culberson County. And then in 1768, the Spanish colonists in Mexico and Texas, and they obtained salt from Hidalgo, and all these other counties down there, and then 15 miles east in Willacy County, and there was two lakes there, and they hauled them over the old salt road to Reynosa, and then Juan Cardona Lake in Crane County, and then there was Brooks County, Butler, Saline. Saline had an awful lot of salt, and then you've got Llano County. And then you go to East Texas. East Texas and the coast has got the most salt in Texas. And then in 1834, the Cherokee Indians, they made the first salt at the site of Grand Saline. And they were down in Van Zandt County. And what they did, they evaporated water from the salt marshes. Then in 1839, General Nathaniel Smith from Tennessee, he obtained saline. Near Palestine, and he worked that until his death in 1841, And then his estate filed a suit against the Republic of Texas for salt. And they wanted $100 for it and sued the state for it. And then his two sons produced salt in Texas until about 1845. Then a couple other men came along, and they began boiling down brine, and they took these large kettles. They brought them from Nacogdoches, and they began producing salt in Fisher County, and they leased these salt works. And in 1857, they said, well, our production is small because of the crude method we're doing and poor manufacturing. And they were using an ox cart to bring their salt to market. And then a guy from Kentucky, Samuel Richardson, he came in, and he bought the Ham Salt Works. And he said, I'll just dig some shallow wells, install a pump, and then have the oxen turn the treadmill. He did that. Then the Civil War came along, and they operated the salt works and produced 500 pounds of salt daily.
500 pounds daily?
And they thought that was a lot of salt. And then they sold salt to the Confederacy at $8 a sack.
Whoa.
But then we had people from East Texas, Louisiana, Arkansas. They were paying $20 per 100 pounds for salt. And then after the Civil War, they got up to 2,500 pounds daily. And then a few years, they were drilling wells into these salt domes and increasing their production. And when later years, they got it up to 17,000 pounds a day.
Wow!
And then in 1899, they had salt up to 44,000 tons.
Holy smokes!
And by 1917, Texas produced 85,000 tons of salt.
A day?
Uh-huh. I guess it was a day. Or it might have been for the whole year. But then the Morton Salt Company came.
Ooh.
They bought all the small companies. So by 1920 and 29, they owned everything. And they were 700 feet below surface using all kinds of things, and they were shipping 500 tons a day.
Wow.
And then Texas salt production increased to 1,127,000 tons in 1942.
Wow.
Yes.
Now
it's just amazing how much salt Texas has.
Now, it sounds like it's widespread. You know, I mean, you go north up, you know, to near Lubbock and Amarillo, and there's a lot more agriculture. Down here in West Texas, there's a lot of oil. I know that it's much greener, and it's a different landscape in East Texas because of the moisture and all that. But it sounds like the salt is widespread and covers most of these areas. Is that right?
It covers almost all Texas. You've got West, Northwest Texas, the Plains, Harris County, Anderson, Duval, and you know Duval's way down south, Hudspeth, Hidalgo, all those, Stonewall, that's in the middle, and Pecos. And the value of in 1954, that year, was $7,629,000 just in salt.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's incredible.
And then, of course, you know, the big boys, as I said, Dow Chemical uses it in all their chemicals. So that is real big for Dow Chemical, you know. And then in 1975, they cut it by 25% because the chemical companies weren't using as much salt. But they use it for everything. And as I said, the Dow Chemical and Morton Salt own most of it now. Can you imagine?
It's just fascinating how they can take that much salt out of the earth and the earth doesn't just collapse in.
In 1990, the total production was 8,212 tons, valued at $75 million.
Wow.
Now, that's how much salt we have in Texas.
And they're still going. They're still mining more.
Yeah, and Dow Chemical you know, they're in Brazoria County with their plants, and then you've got Morton Salt. And, you know, it's just amazing. These two companies somehow figured out a way to buy up all this salt, and they're producing millions and millions every year. Now, who would have thought, you know, we've talked about everything we sell in Texas, from cotton to watermelon to cantaloupe and now salt.
Wine?
Yes, and we've talked about wine.
Yeah.
Wine is a big thing here. But who would have thought all this salt under the ground was being produced out?
I would have never known. I mean, obviously, the oil is a big thing, but salt, I my goodness, it seems like somewhere in Texas, the climate is right for literally everything. Like you say, between the cotton, between the oil, between different agricultures, vegetables and things like that, and now salt. It seems like there's literally everything you could ever want someplace in Texas, and the state is making tons of money off of all of it.
They really are. The people that have got it are making so much money. It's amazing.
Wow. I never knew there were so many resources here.
I didn't either. I would have never thought of salt and watermelon and, you know, all these other things.
Wow.
I just didn't know.
Fascinating. So next time we go to the grocery store and we see a little can of Morton Salt, I guess we'll kind of put it all back in perspective. It's just a small, it's literally a small grain in the comprehensive ocean of salt that is mined out of Texas.
That's right. And, you know, when we did the watermelon story, I was shocked what a big producer the state of Texas was. I mean, it was shocking.
Yeah.
And then each time we learned something, we learned, like the salt, what a big producer Texas is.
Yeah. Yeah. And cotton. Cotton is another big one.
Oh, yeah. Cotton is really big in Texas.
Yeah.
Millions of acres of cotton every year.
Yeah. You know, and you go north of here, you know, up towards Lubbock and Amarillo, and you got silos everywhere. You've got grains everywhere. I mean, it's just fascinating how many different types of resources. You know, you would expect, you know, like Northern California, they're known for grapes and wine, and that's really about it. But to have the variety of resources that come out of Texas is really mind-blowing, especially how big each one is. It's not like there's just a little bit of this and a little bit of that. There's a lot of this and a lot of that.
And it isn't some little bitty farmer. That's what always shocks me. It's not some little guy by the side of the road growing something. Yeah. These farmers are big, all of them. And then, like you say, look at the Indians started this. In the 1800s, the Indians were here, and they produced the first salt.
Yeah.
Then the Spaniards came. And, I mean, it's just everything we have, there is an abundance of it in Texas.
Yeah, and it seems like it never runs out. That's the great thing. It's like it's I don't know how, but it seems like all these resources keep replenishing themselves.
We are very blessed, let's face it.
Yeah.
Texas is a blessed state to have all these natural minerals and things that we can use to make a living.
That is true. That is so true. You know, it's almost like Texas could be completely self-sustainable if we wanted to be.
You know, that's a good thought right there. Hold that thought.
That will come up, I'm sure, in trivia in the next couple weeks.
Yes, I mean, you know, nothing wrong with that idea. Love your ideas.
There you go. There's another million-dollar idea for you, Faye.
That's right. Another million-dollar idea. Oh, my gosh.
All right. This is Your Money with Faye Bagby. Your phone number is?
It's 877-588-3330. That's 877-588-3330. And we're at 3105 Big Spring, right next to Ivy Cottage.
This is all about growing your money so you can retire happy, wealthy, and early. And we talk about, you know, getting ready for retirement. What about getting ready to get ready? Because there's things that people need to do ahead of time that they need to really start getting ready for now as opposed to the day before they retire. For example, they need to make sure they don't have any debt. You do not want to retire with debt. So what other types of things should people be planning for in advance?
Well, if they've done the way they should be doing all these years, their homes at 55 should be paid for. The homes should be paid for. Their cars, their trucks, they shouldn't have any debt. Their ranches, I'm sure, are paid for. Their businesses, I'm sure, are paid for if they're 55, 60 years old. Surely those things are taken care of. Then we have to worry about how much have they saved for retirement? How much have they put aside? The national average, which is terrible, is $157,000.
A year?
No. $157,000, they said.
Wait, that's what people have saved?
That won't even get you 3 years.
Oh, holy smokes. I didn't realize that people had saved that for... I mean, no, you can't. You're not going to make it very far on $157,000.
No, they can't do that. And I think they must be up north, so surely they're not in the state of Texas.
No.
Because Texans, I think, are smarter than that.
Yeah.
Most of our clients and clients we know, they have a 401k, thank goodness. Most of them work for an oil company or a service company, or they're involved in this industry or a business. So they've saved at least $300,000 or $400,000, maybe $1 million. So mostly they want to get out of the stock market, get it to safety, and start drawing interest.
So $157,000 isn't going to cut it. And I know that people's expectations, and I know their lifestyles are different with every single person. What's that magic number? What should most people have to retire on the day they retire?
Well, I figured it out. And you should have $1,500,000 if you're going to get $60,000 a year.
Okay.
So that's what you have to think about.
So
that will sustain you. If you had $1.5 million and you're only going to take $60,000 a year out.
So I know that somebody is saying, okay, well, I could probably cut that $60,000 a year down to maybe $50,000 if I cut out this and I cut out that. If somebody's thinking those things, what do you tell them right now?
Let's don't cut out anything. Let's make some wise decisions. Let's keep the interest going. After you retire, and you'll have enough to sustain you. If you've got $500,000, that's not going to be enough. You're going to have to reinvest and reinvest every year till we get it up high enough.
So for somebody who's in their mid-40s or approaching 50, and they're thinking, I'm around that $157,000, but obviously I need to grow that more than I was planning on. But geez, I've waited too late. I'm too old to get started. I'm too close to retirement. What do you tell that person? Is retirement still attainable?
Certainly. You're just going to have to work hard. You may not can take as much out as you thought. We don't know how much you're going to get. And now a lot of people are going to get a retirement plus their 401k. Now, some of them don't. Some of them, it is a 401k, and that's what you get. So it's going to depend what they have the day of retirement. And if the stock market, if you're in the stock market and it goes down, the day you retire, what in the heck do?
You're left with nothing.
Yeah, you're left with 40% less.
Wow.
So to be safe, if you're 55, 60 years old, you might want to think about it. Why not diversify? Make sure that some of it cannot go down.
So
it can't go away.
I'm sure people are saying, as I get closer to retirement, I want to kind of get a little bit more conservative with my investments because, like you said, I don't want to retire, and then the day before I retire, the stock market plunges, and I've got nothing left to retire on it, and all of a sudden I have to go back to work one day after I retire. That's not a good situation. So when people say, well, what makes a life settlement such a better investment opportunity? We've explored one of the worst case scenarios, and that's if the policy goes over, you'd have to pay the premiums. But there's two other major risks, and really, this is like worst-case scenario. So what are those two other things?
Well, the other thing is it's not liquid while it's in there. If you buy a policy, it's not liquid. You've spent the money investing with other investors into that life insurance policy. So we know it's not liquid during that time. So if they have an emergency, they have to have other emergency money. And all our clients, we ask them, do you have other emergency money? And our people are all accredited. We haven't talked about that. In order to invest with us, you must be accredited. You must make $200,000 a year, or you must have $1 million in assets other than your house. So if you've got that, we know you've got other money for emergencies. We know that this is an IRA usually. If it's an IRA, you're not going to worry. You're not going to want to take money for emergencies out of the IRA. You're going to want to take it out of your CDs at the bank or your bank account, which will be just fine. So that's the way we've worked it out.
So most people that come and invest with you in a life settlement are already prepared. They wouldn't need to worry about, you know, the policy being liquid. They're not going to need that money anyway. What if a life insurance policy or a company goes out of business?
Okay, if it did, you would have to rely on the state's fund for that. They have a fund set aside in case a life insurance company ever went under. In Texas, we've never had a life insurance company not pay their claims, never. And the good thing is, if a company gets where it's in bad shape, another life insurance company will always buy it. They always have.
So obviously these are worst case scenarios, but these are the three major risks. And when you look at it compared to other investment opportunities, this really is one of the most conservative ways to grow your money over time that we can find. So when we weigh all these, the positives, the negatives, and things like that, and then we get right down to it, somebody says, okay, I'm not really accredited. I don't quite qualify for a life settlement. As wonderful as the opportunity is, there are still other options to grow your money so that you are ready for retirement.
That's right. They can do annuities. Annuities are safe. They're backed by the largest life insurance companies in the country. You hear about annuities every day. I like the one where the guy says, do not buy one till you talk to me, till you read my brochures. I love that one. But they are always solid. An annuity is going to give you a solid return year after year. I've got two or three clients. I've looked up their accounts. One has been with me 16 years.
Wow.
And it's worth as much now as it was when she started. And she's taking money out every year for 16 years.
Wow, that's great.
And the balance is still the same.
Amazing.
It is amazing. So an annuity is a good thing to have, especially if whether you're accredited or not. Yeah. If it is a fixed annuity, you will never lose the first dollar.
But regardless of anybody's situation, whether accredited for a life settlement or they want to take the annuity route, the point of all of this is that it's not just going to magically happen. It's not going to happen overnight. You do have to get the ball rolling. But it's not the type of thing where you're going to have to spend a lot of time once it is set up, once it is going, once you are invested and once you are growing your money. It's not like this is going to take 40 hours a week. It's not going to take a bunch of time, not going to take a bunch of energy. It's also not going to take a lot of your sleep either. I know sometimes people, especially lately, they're looking at their numbers. They're up in the middle of the night looking at their portfolio.
Well, they have to because they know they could lose 30 or 40%.
Yeah.
And they probably did this week. You know, they said that Yahoo and all these other big companies lost like $4 billion. You know?
Wow. Insane.
It is absolutely insane.
And with this type of investment, you don't have to worry about it. So this really is one of the most conservative ways to do this. And obviously, there's a lot more that's involved in this. We've kind of run over some of the basics, some of the highlights, some of the wonderful things. We've run through some worst-case scenarios. And this might be a really great investment opportunity for a lot of people. I know you've got tons and tons of clients who have been with you for years and years and years. So for somebody who's new and wants to come talk to you and sit down, maybe have some information, have a conversation, get the ball rolling. What should they do today before they come see you?
They should gather up everything they want me to look at. Let's look and see if they have old annuities that they may be paying some huge fees on. People never look at all these fees. It amazes me. I looked at an old annuity the other day for some people. The fees were like $1,700 a year.
Wow.
And I looked at that and I go, I cannot imagine they're paying that.
Wow.
And then it was a variable annuity. In other words, it had mutual funds from the stock market. It could go up and down. And the only type of annuity that does not go down is a fixed annuity. That's what you have to have.
All right. Well, people need to get the ball rolling, Faye. And one last time for people to come and talk to you and get some information and start the process, what is your phone number?
It's 877-588-3330.
You've been listening to Your Money with Faye Bagby, sound advice to help your money grow. Listen for Your Money with Faye Bagby every Saturday morning at 10 here on 97 Gold.
This program has been a paid presentation for American Financial and Retirement Services, LLC, and has been brought to you by American Financial and Retirement Services, LLC. The opinions expressed on the program by the host, host guest, and call-in listeners are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not represent the opinions of management of this station or Brazos Communications West, LLC, who bear no responsibility or liability for the program's content. The purpose of this radio program is intended to inform the public on financial planning issues and investment products for qualified individuals and investors. Many of the topics and opinions discussed may be of a personal nature, and some people may disagree with or find opinions expressed on this program objectionable. Before you invest, you should consult with financial advisors and review the program prospectus and its risks.